If you ask most people if they want to have a happy, carefree life, I imagine they would say yes. However, the reality is that most people fall short. And we're going to look at that this morning so that we can have a happy, carefree life. Several months ago, I did a lesson on anxiety and depression and used a verse from the Old Testament talking about where we become depressed because of anxious thoughts. I want us to look this morning at the cares and my PowerPoint is not coming up. There we go. God's cure for worry. One of the key passages we think about lots of times is Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I would suggest that you write down the passages that are up here, Matthew 6, 25 through 34, Philippians 4, 6 through 7, Isaiah 40, 25 through 31, and Isaiah 46, 4. Again, if you do not have this problem, worrying about things or dealing with cares of the world, I'm sure you have several friends or family that does. The religion of Jesus Christ is designed to bring us happiness while we're here on this earth and in the world to come. You look at the words that are in the Bible, happy, blessed, rejoice. They appear over and over. David said, happy is the people whose God is the Lord, Psalm 144:15. 8 times in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus used the word blessed, which is the equivalent of happy. From Paul's Roman prison, he wrote the words to the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Yet these are days of great anxiety, and we are going into a time of the year where people become more anxious and depressed with the holidays that are going on. For whatever reason, they may feel pressure from others or pressure that they are not able to do or have some of the things that other people do. And many people look for happiness in the wrong places. Some people look for happiness in wealth. And they think, if only I could get more money, then I would be happy. But we need to be reminded of what we read in Ecclesiastes 5:10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth the abundance with increase. This also is vanity. You see, there is no such thing as enough money to a lot of people. They get more money, then they want more money, and then they want more. Solomon prayed, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I should be poor and steal and take away the name of my God in vain. So Solomon recognized that if we have too much, we might forget God. If we have too little, we might do the wrong things to try to get more. So God, just give me what I need. Some believe that the road to happiness is in the path of honor or the pride of life. And again, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 6, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanted nothing for his soul of all that he desires, yet God give him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eats. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. Again, someone might accumulate much, they might rise to a high position and have whatever they want. And then what happened? Somebody could come and take it away from them. They might lose their health. They might die and leave it to someone else, and the next person waste everything that this person has accumulated. Some people feel that happiness comes through pleasure. The Epicureans, they felt that pleasure was the only good and worthwhile object in life. And there is pleasure to be desired. We want to be careful that we do not engage in the pleasure of sin. From Hebrews 11:25, we learn that the pleasures of sin are only for a season. So we want something that is long-lasting. The problem that so many of us have is that when I went through that list of where people try to find happiness, we want to find happiness with God, but we also want to try a little bit of this. We think maybe the wealth is the way, maybe pleasure, maybe honor, maybe that position. And we try to have both. And we have a divided mind, a divided heart. And God will not accept that. The Savior said, "He that is not with me is against me." In those at Laodicea, they were lukewarm, and the Lord said, "Thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." How long will it take for us to understand that no man can serve two masters? Yet so many people try to do that. I want us in this lesson to look at three points, three main things that will help us to deal with worry, that will help us to be a happier people. And the first one is to look at the evil to be avoided, and then how to avoid this evil, and then the happiness that we can enjoy. So the evil to be avoided. Again, back in Philippians 4:6, we are to be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Well, what does this mean? Did the Apostle Paul mean that we shouldn't care for anything in life? No, because the Bible teaches us that we should care about many things. We should care about our body. In 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, my body belongs to God. Why? By right of creation. My spirit belongs to Christ by right of redemption. Therefore, with both of these, they belong to God, and we should care about our body. We should not do anything to destroy it that would be destructive to it, to ruin our health. We must keep our body in the best health that we can to bring glory to God. Well, something else that we are to care for is our business, the things that we are engaged in. As we've been looking at Romans chapter 12 on Wednesday evenings, Romans chapter 12:11, not lagging in diligence, but fervent in service. We are to put forth effort and care about our jobs, care about our business. We are not to do things in a half-hearted way. We are commanded to labor, working with our hands, the things which is good, that we may give to those in need, Ephesians 4:28. We are to provide for those things honest in the sight of all men, Romans 12:17. We are to walk honestly toward them that are without, in order that he may have lack of nothing, 1 Thessalonians 4:12. So we are to care about our job. We are to care about that. Something else we should care about is our reputation. Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor than silver and gold. We should care about our reputation. We should care about our soul. You know, the Christian above all else is to give great care and concern for our soul. For it's worth more than the whole world, Matthew 16:26. So when we think about these things, we see that as a Christian, we can't be totally careless, but we have this problem of caring about things and caring too much. We have to have some kind of balance. We have to have the proper perspective. And how can we know when our care becomes excessive? When it becomes excessive and therefore unchristian? It becomes excessive when we lose our proper perspective and we undervalue the spiritual. We undervalue the spiritual. So we have to have this balance. If it gets out of balance and we care more about the things of the world than the spiritual things, it's going to cause a divided heart. It's going to cause unhappiness. It's going to cause worry because our mind is going to be fighting against itself. In Luke 10:41, we see in the attitude of Martha when Jesus came to visit her at her home, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Jesus said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled with many things." Mary was more concerned about hearing the words of Jesus. Therefore, Jesus said that Mary hath chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. So Jesus comes to your house. What are you going to do? Are you going to worry more about cleaning the house and having the food made and the table looking just right? Or are you going to be more concerned and care more about, here is the Son of God and what does He have to say? When do we lose that balance? When do we worry? Our care becomes excessive when it makes us lose faith in God's providence. In God's providence. Do we really believe with a confident assurance that all things work together for good unto them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose? Romans 8:28. And if you aren't familiar with providence, just think of the word provide, providence. God sees into the future to know what we are going to need. And when we get there, God has already provided for what we need. That's God's providence. One of the great examples we see is Joseph in the Old Testament, the providence of God, where, and it was through a series of bad circumstances that Joseph was taken from his homeland down to Egypt, and again through a series of bad circumstances rose to second in the land over next to Pharaoh, where he was in charge of storing up all the grain through the years of plenty, so that when there was a famine that other nations would come and be able to live because God had provided. And it's strange that man can depend on God for the greater gifts, and then we don't have faith in God for the lesser gifts of His providence. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus offered several reasons why we should not worry over the necessities of life and the concerns of the future. Let's look in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. Yet he will not much more clothe you, O you of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now look at this. In verse 25, he uses the word worry. In verse 27, which of you by worrying? Verse 28, so why do you worry? Verse 31, therefore do not worry. Verse 34, do not worry. He mentions the word worry or anxious five times. Five times in these few passages. Is worry a problem? It is. It is with so many people. Sometimes I worry in my life. Sometimes I imagine you worry. And again, if you don't, we all know people. Some people, you know, I've heard since I was real little the term worry wart. That person's a worry wart. They just worry about everything. Everything good can be happening, but they are going to worry about something. Well, in the Sermon on the Mount here, consider the greater gifts. Take no thought, be not anxious for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Matthew 6:25. You know, God gave me life. He gave me life. Will he not then give me food and clothing? Life is the greater gift. Food and clothing is the lesser gifts. Isn't he going to sustain, keep on giving us the lesser gifts? We need to recognize more and rely more upon God's providence of our loving Father, that God is a kind Father who will give us the things we need. You know, I've got this picture of the earth up here looking down from outer space, and you see the clouds around it in this rendition of it. You see the sun shining in the background. But you know, there's over 7 billion people on this planet. And God knows every one of us by name. He knows how many hairs we have on our head. He knows how many hairs we have lost from our head. He has given us life. And then we think, oh, he's not able to take care of this need that I have. He's going to forget about this. God is God. God is God. He knows all. He can do all. He goes on, Jesus, to talk about we need to consider the birds of the air in verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they neither sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? You know, we get up, we go to work, we labor, we work, we go out, we get our food, we take care of it. And here he's saying, Jesus is saying, these smaller animals are fed by the Lord. Well, surely then God will take care of his children who are of much more importance. And that is through the process of work. When we go out and get that job and work, who gave us that job? God provided for us. And you just think about a father, say a father that was on a farm, say this farmer, he had cows, he had chickens, he had pigs, he had goats, he had sheep, and he'd go out and he would feed all of those animals and he wouldn't feed his children. What kind of a father would that be? He'd be a worthless father. Friends, our Father is not like that. Our Father will feed us. He will take care of us. Jesus goes on in verse 27 that worry is so, it's just useless. It's useless. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? It said that that worry is interest which we pay on a debt that we do not owe. I've heard that over and over through the years, but you just stop and think about that. Say you walked into a bank, you went up to the banker, and you had a bag of money, and you said, I want to pay this interest on a debt that I have. And the banker says, okay, what's your name, and let me look up the loan. You tell them your name, they start looking up the loan. Well, I don't have a record of you having a loan. Oh, well, I might have a loan someday, and I want to go ahead and pay interest on it. They might call somebody to come and take us away for a little help up there. That's just plain silly. But what do we do in our lives? We worry about something that might happen in the future. We want to pay interest on a loan that we do not have. Jesus goes on, and again, so here he mentions worrying five times. You think about a lot of sins, and he will say, do not do this, do not do that. But worry is a common problem. It's a common problem. We need to understand it. He mentions worry five times here and says, don't do it. And then he keeps giving illustrations to help us get that to sink in. And there's the consideration of the flowers. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? How beautiful the lily is, but relatively unimportant when compared to man. You think of that beautiful lily? That's beautiful, and God created that. And then you think of man. Man created in the image of God. He also goes on to say that worry or anxiety about the future is imitating the heathen. That's what the heathen people do. That's what the people that don't believe in God do. Verses 31 and 32. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, the heathen seek. For your heavenly Father knows what ye have need of, all these things. You know, again, just thinking about being a father, we know what our children need. And our heavenly Father knows what we need. And if we think we don't, then he says that we are like the heathen. God knows our needs. He's our Father. In verse 32, your heavenly Father, that's that relationship, that loving heavenly Father, knows that we have need of all these things. Again, as a father, we know the needs of our children. God knows our needs. So what's worry going to do? Worry is only going to make us miserable. In verse 34, therefore, do not worry, do not take thought for tomorrow shall take thought for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We worry about something tomorrow that we can't see. Think about that. We worry about something tomorrow that we can't see. Who can see tomorrow? God can see tomorrow. So again, do we rely on God's providence? Or do we try to play God ourselves and say, I need to step in and do something because God's not going to be able to do that? When we try to do that, what's it going to do? It's going to make us miserable. Do you go to bed at night and you think about all those things that you want to worry about tomorrow, and you think, I'm going to start worrying about all those things because I know I'll go right to sleep? We don't do that. What if we do, if we try that, what do? We stay up all night tossing and turning. Oh, what am I going to do? Tomorrow's Monday. Oh, Monday is the worst day of the week. You know, why borrow trouble from tomorrow? We have enough cares for today. You know, Jesus taught us to pray day by day. Give us our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. And you know, the times that I get in trouble, it's not dealing with today. It's when I think, oh, what am I going to do 5 years from now? What am I going to do 10 years from now? What am I going to do 15 years from now? And when I start thinking about that, I start worrying. And what good does it do me? Nothing. It'll just make me miserable. We need to focus on today. There's a poem I want to read, Tomorrow's Bridge. Tomorrow's bridge, as I look ahead, is it a rickety thing to view? Its piers are crumbled, its rails are down, its floors would let me through. The chasm it spans is dark and deep, and the waters foam and fret. I've crossed that bridge 1,000 times, though I have never reached it yet. It has crashed beneath to let me through, although it is miles away. But strange, the bridges that I have crossed have all been safe today. Perhaps I shall find when I reach the one that lies in the distant blue, some hand may have mended its rickety floor, and its piers may be staunch and new. And I can pass over light-hearted and free, as a bird on the buoyant air. Forgive me, God, for my fearful heart, my anxious and foolish care. Haven't we all crossed that rickety bridge that never existed and we felt like we were going to fall down? Well, how do we avoid this evil? How do we avoid this evil? Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He says in everything. That's in everything with reference to your wants. That's everything in reference to your afflictions. That's everything in reference to your spiritual needs. In everything. Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all my ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So here Paul gives three specific directions in the text by which worry can be avoided. Number one is by prayer. Number two is by supplication. Number three is by thanksgiving. Prayer is petition. It's the prayer of a devout, righteous soul to God. It's the desire of the soul, rising up, moving toward God for help. And a lot of times we might say, well, I've prayed about this. I still worry about that. Well, we don't stop with just prayer. By prayer, by supplication. Supplication is that stronger prayer, that entreaty. It's something more than merely asking or simply praying. In a prayer, we ask for a blessing we want, but in a supplication, we entreat. We plead earnestly, we implore, we beg. God, please help me with this. Please. We not only ask, but we seek, we knock. And then by thanksgiving, Christians are commanded in everything, give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. A lot of times our prayers are more about give me, give me, give me, instead of thank you. You take these three together, and this is another cure for worry. It's the antidote for anxiety. As Paul wrote this letter from prison in Rome, and he could tell them, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. When prayer with supplication and thanksgiving become a habit, when this spirit prevails, then the anxious spirit, the spirit of worry, will go away. But what happens? We do that balancing act and we try to live in the world. We try to take care of things ourselves. We try to rely on God. But we haven't given our whole mind to God. The two are incompatible with each other. They cannot exist coexist in the same heart. And when we try, it's just going to make us unhappy. It's going to make us miserable. So the happiness to be enjoyed, what is that? He says that in verse 7. When we are anxious for nothing, and then we go to God in prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart, your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is peace in chaos. You know, someone has said, peace is not the absence of the storm, but peace is calm in the middle of the storm. That is true peace. And this peace that God gives us, he says, will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's turn back to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. Again, we need to put things in perspective. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 25. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? So again, we're talking about God, and who are we going to compare to God? Who are we going to compare God with? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. When we look at this planet, when we look at this earth, who created it? God did. Who brings out their host by number? He calls them all by name. He knows every one of us. Every one of us. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is searchable. You think God's going to get tired taking care of us? He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Friends, when we turn our mind over to God, when we give up those cares, we stop being anxious, God is going to give us strength. He's going to give us strength to anything. You say, well, you might be able to do that for a while, but I don't know. It's getting hard. I'm getting older, and it's getting harder for that. Well, then turn over to Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46, beginning at verse 1. Bel bows down, Nebo stoops. Their idols were on the beast and on the cattle. Your carriages were heavily loaded, a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but have themselves gone into captivity. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb. Even to your old age, I am he, and even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. God is never going to give up on us. We can get old. We can grow old. We can have gray hair. God is going to be there. Friends, do you possess happiness? It's a choice. Happiness is a choice. Worry is a choice. If we do not possess happiness, then we have not entered into the true spirit of Christianity. Because Christ wants us to be happy. God wants us to be happy. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to rejoice. How can we rejoice in God if we go through life with worries? When we have been too much attached to the world and the things of the world, then we should be ashamed. And sometimes I do that and I feel ashamed. Why do I worry about this? Why do I worry about that? God is in heaven. He's over all. He reigns. We see the providence of God. He knows what tomorrow is going to be, and He's taken care of it for us already. Friends, if you struggle with this, I hope these thoughts have helped you. And friends, if you're outside of Christ, if you're outside of God, if you're living in sin, you should worry. You should feel miserable, because that is not the right relationship. But the good news is that God has provided a way where you can be reunited with Him. You can be reconciled. You can be redeemed. You can be bought. And your sins can be forgiven. As we stated this morning in class, it all begins with faith. It all begins with hearing God's word, having faith in it, believing God, submitting to God in baptism so you can come in contact with His blood. He will then add you to the church. Which church will He add you to? You can only read about one in the New Testament. You can only read about one. If you were added to some other church, look in the Bible to see which church the Lord added them to in Acts 2:47. Friends, if there's anybody here this morning that needs to be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.